A most embarrassing thing happened to me a few months ago. I went to the bank to make a deposit, put the money on the counter. The teller picked up the small stack of bills and started to count them. How quickly they leaped through the money. And she stopped in the middle, pulled one out, and she says, "We can't count this one. And I cannot give you this money back again because it's counterfeit." And I was quite startled to realize, and it's kind of embarrassing because I pastor a church. I try to be the best Christian leader I know how to be. And here I am passing a counterfeit $20 bill. Well, she couldn't give it back to me because I guess that's the law. The thing that I contemplated was, though, it's one thing to have a counterfeit $20 bill or a $50 bill and know it. It's another thing to have a counterfeit $20 or $50 bill and think it's genuine. But that's not near as bad as thinking one is a genuine Christian if, in fact, we are not. It is a very kind thing to separate the true from the false. So we want to spend a few moments today and talk about how you can be sure. How can I be sure? How can we be sure that we are genuine Christians? So let's talk about real or genuine. These are days in which people are not just true to false gods, but many are false to the true God. That's the real problem in these Americas. I've had people say to me, "I tried Christ. I tried Christianity. It didn't work." And I suppose that's like saying, "Well, I tried to pass the $50 bill, but it didn't work." Because if you really have the real thing, He always works. He's faithful. He is never failing. But it's important for us to know how to know for sure that we have the genuine thing and not the artificial. So let's take a look at this diagram. Let this circle represent your life or mine. And life is divided up into many different areas. There's habits, and all of us have parents. They are wonderful things. And some of us are married, thankfully, and we have a spouse. And then there's this area called money and sexuality. And then we all work at employment or go to school, and that's an area of our life. And then we'll just call one of these areas etc. Because if there was enough room on this diagram, we could divide this circle or this pie up into literally hundreds of areas of our life. Our problems, sleep, food, on and on. We could name so many different areas of our life. Now, I want to show you on this diagram the biggest error that I know about and a mistake about becoming a Christian. Here it is. Some people think that giving one of these areas to Christ makes a person a Christian. "Oh, I believe in Him. Yes, I go to church once in a while, even every week. I even pray." And they give Christ this area of their life, and it is the biggest error and the biggest mistake that any one of us can ever make. You see, Christ in this area of our life still leaves all these other areas unaffected. Now, I want to change the diagram slightly and let you see it differently. Now, we have the same circle representing our life. We have the same areas representing the different segments of life. Only this time, the diagram is different. In the center is what we refer to as the heart. When we talk about the heart of the matter, we're talking about the core, the essence of being, the real us. Being a Christian is having, watch the diagram now, is having Christ in this management position. It's having Him in our hearts, having Him at the center, having Him at the core. Now watch this. And because He is in the management position, now He shows us how to live successfully in all these other areas of our life. He begins to work through these other areas. Well, of course, the question I suppose that most people are asking is, how do we know when Christ is really our Lord, really in the management position? So let's take a look at this verse, or this quote. When Jesus is our Lord, when He is my Lord, that is, when He's in the management position, I cease to have an opinion on any matter in which God has already spoken in His Word. When Christ is in the management position, I don't have any opinion about whether I want to steal anymore or not. Because if He's really the Lord, if He's really the boss, if He's really the ruler, if He's the master of my life, I don't get the option of stealing or committing adultery or hating. I don't even have any option about, if you please, how to treat my enemies, if He is my Lord. I want you to make sure you get this key sentence down. If Jesus is my Lord, I cease to have an opinion on any matter in which He has already spoken in His Word. Well, let's go back to the diagram again. When Jesus is in the Lord position, I don't have any opinion about sexuality. In fact, watch this. I don't have any opinion about how to treat my parents. If He is the master, if I am under His management, under His leadership, if He is Lord and I am servant. See, that's the problem, isn't it, today? That we live our lives and we try to get Christ to come under our management. We try to get God to become the servant of our will instead of us becoming a servant to His will. Things have gotten backwards so that what's called Christian today is very frequently not Christian at all. And how can one tell the difference? The difference has to do with whether or not Christ is in the Lord position, the management position, and that we are under it. And when He is, look at the diagram once again. When Jesus is my Lord, I don't have any opinion about how to treat my wife. Because He said, husbands, love your wives. I don't even have any opinion about how to treat my children. I don't get the option of whether to discipline them or not, or how to discipline when it is time to discipline. Why? Because if Jesus is really, this word Lord, by the way, means boss, ruler, master. If Jesus is my boss, if He's calling the shots, if I have really put Him in the, are you ready for this? The God position. The creator over the created. If He is in His right position as Lord, then you see, I treat my children exactly the loving way that He treats us. And I discipline them, and I discipline them in scriptural ways. You see, I don't have any opinion about habits that I form. You know, one of the biggest tricks of the devil, Satan, is to get us to fulfill legitimate needs in our lives by unscriptural methods. For example, if a person is lonely, there is a Bible solution to loneliness. All we have to do is consult the Lord. If you were the manager of a store and someone came to work for you, what's the first thing you usually would get was policies and procedures. This is what we sell our products for. This is how we clean up shop. This is how we treat our customers. And if you're really under His management, we don't have any opinion about how we treat the customers. He decides. We don't have any opinion about how much we sell the product for because He decides. Being a Christian, genuine, is having Jesus Christ in the Lord position, the management position of our lives. And then we no longer try to fulfill real needs in our life in unscriptural methods because if He's Lord, I cease to have an opinion about any matter in which He has already spoken in His Word. Well, when it comes to money, you see, once Jesus is in this Lord position, He has a whole set of financial principles in Scripture. And as we learn them, we allow Him to work His way right through all of these areas of our life because He's Lord. When He's the Lord, He has the option to rearrange to straighten any area of our life. Old things pass away. Look at this. All things become new. Not only do you have a change of heart, but because it's in your heart, all the areas of life change as well, because they have come under a totally new management director, management principles, and management style. He takes over because we bring him into our life as Lord. Well, I guess the question you'd probably be asking was, how do I become a genuine Christian? And by the way, if while I'm sharing these truths, you get this little prick in your heart, this little gnawing at your conscience, wow, you might not be the real thing, some doubt, some fear. Don't be afraid of that. You see, that's called conviction. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us. If something's wrong with our lives, we want to know it, don't we? If I have a $50 bill and it's counterfeit, I want to know it before I get in a whole lot of trouble. And so it is. So welcome these ideas and these truths of Scripture, because they have not come, and they do not come to you to condemn you, but that you might make the right kind of change. Well, what kind of change is necessary? How do you become a Christian? Look at this Scripture with me. It's a famous one, oft quoted, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus Lord, and in addition, if you will believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be salvaged. That's exactly what he does. That's what the word saved means. I have a friend in Texas who started out at a young age just collecting stuff people threw away. And he'd take it home and clean it up and fix it and resell it. He's a multimillionaire today. By the salvage business. Well, that's exactly what God does. If something's broke, if something's become soiled and dirty, what he does, you see, is he comes and he cleans it up. If it's broke, he fixes it. And what wasn't worth very much before now becomes valuable. And that's precisely what he wants to do with your life. Thou shalt be salvaged. Now, there are two aspects of this, two elements. You can see them. First one is faith. Thou believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But the second one is this confession. Look at this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth lordship of Jesus, then you will be salvaged. So let's talk about this for a moment, because the first thing I want you to know about this confession is that the confession must be genuine. It isn't saying he's my Lord if he's not. How do we know that's true? Let's look to the Scriptures. Look at this. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. It isn't confessing something that's not true. The confession of Jesus as your Lord is meant to be a genuine confession, a genuine confession of a fact. Now, let's go back to the diagram for a moment and take another look. What we are talking about here is literally having Jesus in our hearts. And oh, I would like to slow down for a moment to tell you the wonder of this. I have never known Jesus to turn anyone away. He doesn't turn us away. See, we turn him away. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will not reject him. I'll not cast him out. When you come to Jesus properly, he will receive you. When we come to him properly means coming, responding to him, bringing him into our lives in this primary management position. Now, let me show you what the problem has been. Let's do a blow-up of the heart here and take a look at it. Look at this Scripture. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to, here's the problem, see, his own way. Let me show you in the diagram. It's as if inside your heart there's a chair in there. only it's a special chair known as a throne. A king sits on a throne. It's a chair, but it's special because it's symbolic of the position of rulership. Now, here's the problem, is that self is sitting in this God position, this rulership position in our hearts. We decide what's right and wrong, forward and backwards, up and down, left and right. We'll decide what's sin and what's not sin. We have usurped God's rightful position. We have taken over the God position in our lives. That place, that throne that's reserved strictly for God. There has to be a cure to this problem. And let me show you what it is. In our hearts, we still have this throne. But now, what we want to do is we want to put Christ in this position. We want to get self off this throne, off this position that's reserved only for God. Can I tell you that there are people without Christ on the throne of their heart, and some of them without self on there. You know who's on there? Often with teenagers, they put their friends on the throne. Their friends decide what's cool and not cool, what clothes we wear and what clothes we don't wear, how we look, how we dress, how we behave, how we talk. But a tragic thing is to let the mob rule one's life. Do you know it's possible to have Satan ruling in a person's heart? We call it demonization, demon possession. It's where we have invited evil spirits to actually be in charge of our lives. But you see, usually it's self that's on the throne. When self rules, ego rules, it's the same principle as Satan. You see, Satan was once a good being, angel. But he said, I will be exalted. I will be like the Most High God. He took over God's rightful position, or tried to. The key to becoming a genuine Christian is to get self off the throne and Christ on the throne. That's the key. Bringing Christ into the management position of our lives. Well, how can we know when he's there? Look at this scripture now. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord? And look at this. And do not the things which I say. What is the point of saying I am your Lord if you're disobedient to me? And now here we are to the evidence. The evidence of Jesus being in the Lord position of our lives is that we do what the boss says. We do what the Lord says. If you want to make it on a job and your employer says, I want you to do this at 3 o'clock and this at 4 o'clock and this at 5 o'clock, you keep that job by doing what the employer says. To be a Christian under new management is to do exactly what the Lord, the evidence is, in fact, obedience. Look at this again. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, it isn't saying it, but look at this. Watch the screen now. But he that doeth the will. The proof of Jesus in the Lordship position is that we do his will. That's the evidence. Scripture says, here another one, be doers, look at this, doers of the word, obeyers of the word, if you please, and not hearers only. Now watch this key, deceiving yourselves. A genuine Christian does the will of God, does the word of God, is a doer of the word. Someone who hears it and even likes it, likes to go to church, likes to hear the words, but doesn't do them, The scripture says, look at, they are deceiving their own selves. They don't have the genuine thing yet. What is the evidence? The evidence is that we end this contest of wills. Look at the diagram. My will versus his will. We must come to a place where instead of this being our choice, our intention is to do his will in every area of our life. Whenever a person takes their opinion and puts it above God's, they are evidencing counterfeit Christianity. Genuine Christianity is making Jesus the Lord. Making him Lord means doing what he says. Let's see if we can go to another summary for a moment of genuine conversion. My care today for you. You know, you can make a mistake about spending $50, $100, or $5,000. And all you've lost is $5,000. You can make a $100,000 mistake and lose $100,000. But you know what? The one thing you don't want to make a mistake about is your soul. Don't let anybody mess with your soul. Because God made you, you see, to be eternal, to live forever. He wants to take you from this planet on into the universe. The scripture says to rule and reign with Christ. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the glory that awaits us? That's why Paul said the glory of the terrestrial is one, but the glory of the celestial is another. God's got big plans for you. Don't let anybody spoil them. And most importantly, don't get mixed up about whether you're the real thing or not. The evidence is that in becoming a Christian, we experience a change in government, a change in management, a change in government. That's why in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. It's a change of rule. Look at this. It's a change from self-rule to Christ's rule. I was calling it, now he calls it. I was doing, look at this, I was doing my will, but now I do his will. It's a change of lordship. I was the Lord calling all the shots in my life. Now he is the Lord. I used to have my ways and my words and he had his. But now I live his word, not my words. I used to have my opinions and they constantly kept competing with his opinions. But I've solved that now. I have no opinion on any matter in which he has already spoken in his word. If he says it in here and if he is my Lord, I don't have any option. I don't want any option. You know why? Because he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways and yours are not mine. And watch this now. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, God says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, saith the Lord. When you change management, you bring somebody into your life who is so smart. He makes no mistakes. He makes no blunders. Your life is now guided by somebody who is wise enough and loving enough to never let you down and always take you forward in every area of your life. Making him the Lord. Look at this. Having Christ in the Lord position, the God position. And now before you lies the most exciting life. Every turn of the road is excitement because God is for real in you. He lives in you. thinks his thoughts in your mind, speaks through your lips, uses your hands, because he is now your Lord.
When you know why you were born, you'll have a new appreciation for your true self. You will know your true purpose in life, and you'll know why you matter. Then you'll be equipped to choose a life path full of meaning and joy. Uncover the truth about you. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self. Mark Twain said, "There are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why." And David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will launch you on your true path. Take action now and visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Live a fulfilling life now without pressures to conform to the ideas and expectations of others. Live the fulfilling life you were created to live and enjoy the freedom, comfort, and confidence that can bring. Become the real you and discover your ENA, your embedded natural abilities. Break free from the prison of your past and experience the joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment you were created for. Act now. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born and order your copy of this amazing new book. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will fill you with new expectation for your best life, the life you were created to live.